We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Buffs Inside Zone. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, as we continue our series of introducing you, Buff Nation, to the new assistant coaches for Carl Durrell. Joining us here today in the Inside Zone is the quarterback coach and passing game coordinator, Danny Langsdorf. Danny, welcome to the podcast. And first off, how much have you learned the last few weeks here about virtual coaching?
Yeah, that's a first. I haven't had to do that before. So we're trying to figure all that technology out, running meetings through the virtual teaching, and that part of it's been a little bit of a challenge. But I think our guys are they're adapting pretty well, and they're doing a lot of online stuff anyway. So I think they're probably having an easier time than we are.
I asked one of the coaches the other day I talked to, I said, you're a football coach. Your job is to coach football. When there's no football to coach, what does a football coach do? This has got to be kind of surreal. So as a staff, what are you guys trying to do? Just get yourself organized, I'm guessing, to try to get caught up being that you're brand new before you can finally get back in the field with the guys?
Yeah, actually, for us, being so late in the cycle, I think we've probably benefited a little bit more than others, just in the sense that we're getting on the same page, we're getting caught up in recruiting, getting our installations together, and things that we were really behind on. I actually think we've had a chance to catch up. So It's not like we are excited about this virus stuff or anything, but the fact that we've had a little bit extra time probably has benefited us more than others.
You've had a number of stops as a coach. You've been at Oregon State. You've been at Oregon, so you've had a couple of stops in the Pac-12, Nebraska, Fresno State, spent some time in the NFL. The coaching world's a small world, so you always seem to kind of know anybody. Tell us about what you knew about Carl Durrell, if you had a relationship before you came here, and how you ended up becoming a Buffalo assistant coach.
You know, I didn't have a real close relationship. I had crossed paths with him before, I think. Kind of funny, if you remember, A.J. Kristoff was the defensive coordinator back in the Neuheisel days, and A.J.'s son and I were college roommates, and we had come out to Colorado on a spring break and went in and visited Boulder when I was in college and met Coach Durrell. That was probably the only time I really spent a lot of time with him, spent any time with him. I didn't have much of a relationship. I had coached Matt Moore at Oregon State, who was a quarterback that played for Coach Durrell at the Dolphins.
Okay.
And so there was a couple connections here and there that we tracked back a little bit, but in terms of having a real relationship with him, not much of one. Lance Carl was a guy that I had known kind of early in my career. I think he was a graduate assistant when I was starting out. So there was a couple guys, just a few connections that way through a couple people, but nothing real solid. I hadn't worked with anybody on a staff before, so it is a little bit new, but it's a great group of guys. I've been excited about being here already.
So what was it that drew you to Colorado then? The institution, working for Carl, tell me about what the appeal was for you.
Yeah, I think all of it. I think it's a wonderful place to live. I've always thought that of my time. I've recruited in Denver a little bit. I've thought the community surrounding area is wonderful. It's a beautiful state. I love the college, just the feel of it. It's a beautiful campus. Coach Durrell is a veteran guy that's been coaching a long time and had had some success early on as his stint in UCLA and then of course as an assistant, but being a long time NFL guy, there's just been a lot of a lot of knowledge there, a lot of experience that I've been excited to learn from. Being in the Pac-12, I think, having my couple stops at Oregon State and Oregon, and I think it's a great conference. It's a fun, the teams are all very good and competitive, and there's a lot of things about this job that were appealing to me, who I was working for, where I was living, the conference that we were in. I think there was just a lot of stuff to choose from and to be excited about.
What kind of quarterback, by the way, was Danny Langsdorf?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I think if it's around my kids and my wife, I was pretty good.
Sure.
I don't know if everybody would say that.
Did you always know you wanted to be a coach?
My dad coached for a long time at a Division III school in Oregon, at Linfield College, and so I grew up around it. I think because of that, I really was drawn to wanting to do that. I think for me, it was probably, kind of middle school, early high school that I kind of felt like that was what my passion was going to be. And I kind of went through college thinking that way. I sort of set myself up to be in graduating in the winter and getting into being a graduate assistant right after I was done playing, all of those things. I had that planned for quite a while. So
sure.
I do think that for most of my life, I had thought that that's what I was going to do.
I think anybody that gets into coaching, obviously from a football standpoint, you've got to love the game of football. I understand that. That makes perfect sense. But there's also, it seems like virtually everybody I've talked to over the course of my career about why they got into coaching, there's always at least some degree of wanting to make an impact and enjoying. I think probably teachers have a similar kind of mindset that they can make an impact in a young person's life. Is that something that kind of resonates with you?
I think it does for sure. I think everybody's drawn to the game, the X's and O's and all of that of the game. But I do think, for me, the relationships and the teaching part of it is exciting. I've really enjoyed getting to know the players and their families, but also, being able to teach what I know and pass it on, and make an impact when I did. And I think all of those things are what drives you in coaching. And I think if you're not doing or you're not excited about those things, you're probably in it for the wrong reasons. But I've really enjoyed getting to know these kids and their families, and the teaching part of it for me is what it really drives me.
So what do you think has changed for you as a teacher? What have you learned about how to guide young people over the course of your career?
Well, I think it's funny. I think just recently it feels like the teaching, your teaching style has to change. I think with the technology and social media and the immediate feedback that these kids have gotten just in a short amount of time, I'm talking the last 5-10 years, it's changed. I've had to adapt and change. I can't, I used to have long meetings and probably not very efficient work. And I think that you know, nowadays you've really got to change that. I think attention spans are shorter and kids get bored easier. You know, I think you have to change a little bit your own philosophy. Otherwise, you're behind the times. And I think that's what's been good about, just trying to be a better teacher is learning how to reach these kids in a different way. And I think that's really changed in the last couple of years.
Danny, you walk into kind of an interesting situation. Not only are you the new guy, so you come in, you take over a quarterback room, but you take over a quarterback room that doesn't have a lot of depth right now. You got Tyler Lytle, who's played a little football for the Buffaloes. You got Brendan Lewis, a pretty highly regarded recruit, coming in. When you first heard what the numbers are going to be like, what first crossed your mind? Or is that a positive in some ways, do you think?
I think there's a little bit of both. I think the scary thing is guys that just haven't played very much. You know, there's something to be said for game experience, and it's very hard to simulate it. So that part of it, I think, that's a little concerning, just because, you know, like I said, you have such a hard time simulating those things in practice. But at the other hand is you've got some guys that are kind of a clean slate. You know, they haven't had maybe a lot of time in our system. A lot of the teaching that we're gonna implement with them is gonna be new. And so I think that we're not trying to break a bunch of old habits. And I think that part of it's gonna be kind of fun. I think they'll respond quickly. I think they'll learn some new stuff in a short amount of time, and we'll get them up to speed. So I'm excited about the group. It's not very deep. But the other thing about that is you get a lot of good time with these guys. You don't have too many kids to deal with. You've got a few kids that you can really spend a lot of time with and get them going. So I'm excited about the group.
What's the number one thing you look for in a quarterback when you're evaluating?
I think they have to be accurate. I think you're always looking at the physical traits, the size and speed and arm strength, and all those things they're pretty obvious, but I think you got to be an accurate thrower. I think the frustrations come when you've got a quarterback that has time, has protection, has an open receiver, and he misses. You know, that's because you've created a good scenario, and then a guy's got to be able to throw a strike in there. So I think that's a big part of it. There are a lot of, you know, they come in a lot of different shapes and sizes, and some are going to be better throwers, some are going to be better runners. I think if you can have a guy that can do both, but be an accurate thrower, I think is probably the number one thing I'm looking for.
You know, you've worked with some pretty good quarterbacks over the course of your career. I know you spent time with the New York Giants with a guy like Eli Manning, who's a potential Hall of Fame guy. I've always wondered about the decision-making aspect, so the mental aspect of a quarterback. Do you try to evaluate that the best you can? Because obviously that's what those guys are doing 1,000 times during a ball game, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think that's a tough one to get off of film. I think you have to research that a little bit. You've got to dig deep into the coach. You got to get to know the kid and his family. And, you know, those things are really difficult to find out, especially off a highlight tape, because everything looks pretty good.
Right.
You know, so you got to get into the game film, and you've got to watch him play those games and kind of see the flow of the game to be able to say, gosh, boy, this kid's making great decisions and throws, or maybe he's checking in the run game, and you can see some of those things that he's doing in the mental part of the game. But you got to research that a little bit. You got to dig into what he's doing, what he's asked to do. So that part of it is not always easy to figure out about a kid in a short amount of time. You've got to put a little time into that one.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier you're an Oregon native. Tell us about who comes with you. You mentioned a family a little while ago. Who comes with you to Boulder?
Yeah, my wife, Michelle, and my two little boys, Dawson and Carter. And mm-hmm. So they're 9 and 7. And they couldn't be more excited. They love the uniforms and the helmets and the mascots and Ralphies. I mean, the whole deal, they are all in. So they've had a few stops here and there, and hopefully not too many more. We've had a few moves lately that we'd like to be able to settle down a little bit and not have to move. And So we are very excited about being part of the community, and living in Colorado can be exciting for all of us.
Hey, word is your wife was a pretty good softball player. Who's a better athlete between the two of you?
Well, again, it depends on who you ask. She's gonna be tough to beat. I think the fact that she can throw it around with the boys is pretty cool. I think that not many moms get drug into family football, basketball, and wiffle ball games. So she holds her own, and she's pretty proud of that. And we love having her with us. It's usually been just the three of us, but we drag her along, and she puts up a pretty good fight.
I love it. Yeah, she was a pretty good softball pitcher back in the day. Hey, before we let you go here, when I Googled you just to find a little bit of your background, a story popped up that was so prominent, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about it. You donated a kidney during your time at Oregon State to the wife of a fellow assistant coach. We're in this period of time right now where we're seeing a lot of folks giving and caring for each other. Danny, I'd say that's the kind of story that seems like you went a little bit above and beyond. I mean, you got to tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, our line coach, Mike Cavanaugh, he and I are good friends. And we were going through a difficult kind of the end of the season, and he was having a hard time. His wife was really sick. Lori was close to dialysis. And anyway, she had gone through a lot of a lot of tests, and a lot of potential donors didn't work out. So it was kind of a long story, but I ended up getting tested, and I was kind of a lottery pick. I think I ended up matching better to her than any of her family members.
Wow.
So it was pretty wild the way it worked out, but we ended up being a really good match, and so we went through the winter, and then in May, the following spring, we had the surgery done, and it was really successful. I think we're going on, I always forget how long, but we're a good 12, I think we're 12 years now.
Okay.
Going strong, and both of us are healthy and doing fine, so it's been a neat story. You know, it wasn't anything more than just trying to help out the way best I could, and the way it's worked has been really fortunate, and everybody's health being great.
Well, that is one heck of a story. God bless you for that, man. That's a phenomenal, phenomenal story. We're so proud and happy that Danny Langsdorf is now part of the Buff family. It's great to have you here, and I just can't wait to get you guys to be able to get back in the football field with the players.
Yeah, hopefully that will come soon.
What a story. And the new quarterback coach and passing game coordinator, Danny Langsdorf, for Carl Durrell and the Colorado Buffaloes, as we put a wrap this week on the Buffs Inside Zone. I'm Voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. We'll talk to you next time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.